Hey everybody, welcome back to Discipleship Podcast. Just want to give you an update for the fall of 2023. We are talking about how to make the kingdom of God tangible in our everyday lives throughout the week. And on Sunday, we're meeting as house church, so these recordings will be a little more intimate and interactive, and you may even hear some group discussion, but I think you will enjoy it. Please, if you do, leave us a review, go check out our Disciple Makers YouTube channel, and be sure to share about it with your friends. Thank you so much, and now, here's the episode. Two or three of us, what did we talk about last Sunday? What's our review to catch Megan up and to catch all of us up when we go, I don't know what happened last week. Jesus growth environment, absolutely. Yeah, sometimes preferences can hold them back from a challenging growth environment, yeah. Yeah, scripturally we hit a Luke 10, Jesus sending them out, and Luke 2, the teachability of Jesus, and Acts 3, the posture of listening towards even the lost and the community around us and being teachable even by people who aren't disciples, where, as we'll talk about today, perhaps there's even some gospel activity that's being done in the community that's not from the church, but we want our lives to intersect with that. I appreciated our Friendsgiving. We had guests. We all shared what we're thankful for. I don't know if you noticed, one of our guests shared for salvation in Jesus Christ as a blessing. And that was pretty cool. We had other guests who believe in karma and don't believe in Jesus Christ. And so I don't know all the conversations that were had at the table, but that might have been one of the most gospel things they may have heard. And it's really tough. It's a challenge for me to... How do I work towards the gospel during a Friendsgiving conversation with, 15 plus people around the table? Mm-hmm. It's a challenge, but also an area where we can grow and slowly get better. So today we're talking about gospel competency. And I Googled it. Nobody's exactly put those two ideas together. So I made a graphic, which might be incorrect, but I might be right about this. And you can help me improve upon it. I printed one off if people want to hand that around, or it's in the band app. Gospel competency. Let me pray for us really quickly. I'm just going to talk for like 5 minutes, and then we're going to be in Luke chapter 4, and then we're going to have a conversation and good news sharing and talk about good news. Cool. So, Father God, thank you for gathering us here today, where we can continue to be in community, in an environment where I hope we're growing Sunday after Sunday. I pray in our discussion that we can all co-create a little bit this definition and this picture of gospel competency and how to grow in that, God. And we want to grow in that because it's growing in our maturity with you as our head. If the gospel message is that you are our King. So Lord, I pray that we can take that to heart, that we can listen for your voice to define that picture. In Jesus' name, amen. I think a theme perhaps you talk about with coworkers or I end up talking about with people in the community. We have these conversations that range from politics to the economy to parenting, and we don't always know how the gospel plays into those things. Or if, you know, I'm at the park and I'm talking with other dads, how do I bring the gospel into that? And I've had to learn and figure out how to do that. Maybe it's something I haven't done before. There's Jacob. I love him, a great guy. We've been going to the park about once a week together with the kids for about a year now. And just having conversations at the park. And now we're having discovery Bible studies on how to be the spiritual heads of our household and how to grow in prayer and set the tone for our kids and be an example. All of these great things. And at first, though, we're just two guys talking at the playground. So how do you work the gospel into there? It's a challenge at first, right? Anybody relate?
Yes.
When politics comes up, how do you work the gospel into that? Mm-hmm. It takes some thinking through. Maybe it even takes some advice, some talking with disciples about it. It might take some conversation about, maybe even in advance, hey, Friendsgiving is coming up. What are some conversations we might have at the table? Like, how could that go well? I'm inviting this person and they're interested in this, and maybe that's where you can connect with them. I think we need a little bit of help in it. So there are ideas out there of gospel fluency. In fact, there's a book about it. I read it a couple years ago and highlighted one thing and then set it down. I should probably read it again. It probably went over my head, and there's probably some very good stuff in it. But the main idea is becoming fluent in the gospel. So when you're parenting and saying, little Jimmy, don't do this, or little Jimmy, you don't need to be afraid. It's, hey, you don't need to be afraid because Christ has conquered fear. He's conquered death. Or when I'm speaking with Saoirse, it's, what did she ask me the other day? Saoirse's really good at this, actually. We even going on walks around the neighborhood, she'll pretend to pull out her Bible and she'll go, okay, wait, Daddy, let me read the Bible. Okay, it says to go this way. All right, let's do what it says. And she can relate spiritual things to everyday things. She is really, really good at it. And for us, it's growing in the competency and the fluency of allowing Jesus' life, death, resurrection, his kingship, shape every area of our life. And not just in the conversation, but in word and deed, shape every area of our life. Or I've said before, it's moving from unbelief to belief in Lord Jesus in every area of our life. So the gospel isn't compartmentalized, and it isn't truncated. So our good news sharing, sometimes that's compartmentalized. Sometimes that's truncated. Sometimes we come together every morning and, hey, who has some good news sharing? And maybe we only share about when we shared with somebody and invited them to church or had cold contact evangelism or something like that. Today we're going to go to Luke 4 to expand that definition, so that we can have better fluency, better competency about the good news sharing and about the gospel. And we've done it before. So start of the year, we were in a Holy Spirit series, and some of us really didn't know how to talk about the Holy Spirit in concrete terms. Really didn't know how the Holy Spirit was working in our day-to-day life. So we just asked every Sunday morning, how is the Holy Spirit encouraging you this week to increase our fluency in that? There's a saying that words define worlds, or that language defines culture. If you don't believe me, just go to Chick-fil-A, and when everyone says, my pleasure, you'll pick up on a culture that's in that environment due to their language, right? Same thing for our gospel sharing. One other example, just touching down in our kingdom series, we all we kind of wrestled with, hey, how is the kingdom of God made manifest in your life? And sometimes we don't talk in those terms or identify where it is in our life or know how to bring his kingdom come and his will be done in every area of our life. So that's what we're talking about today as the little kiddos are climbing all over me. Thank you guys for bearing with them. But here's something I want to repeat twice, and it's in my notes. When I bring up these terms that might be a little foreign, like gospel competency, it really comes down to this. A tangible kingdom life lived on mission is really about living ordinary, everyday life in community with great gospel intentionality. That's just something we have to keep sharpening the saw on to get better at this skill. A tangible kingdom life lived on mission is really about living ordinary, everyday life in community with great gospel intentionality. So I hope that as we get better at sharing good news, we could even get better at sharing the gospel in our everyday, ordinary life. And I hope when we talk about gospel competency that we don't complicate the good news beyond it just being good news. in our everyday life. Mm-hmm. So for Jesus' original disciples, I think the call of the gospel, Jesus saying, come, follow me, I bring good news of the kingdom of God. The gospel creates community that's sent on mission, and it mobilized his original disciples. But they had to get the gospel right first and define it first and get some vision of the kingdom first. So that's why we want to further define gospel a little bit today. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 4. Could I get a volunteer to read Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21? And really the rest of this message, I have some notes written down, but I have a lot of great questions that I'm hoping we can chew on together. So Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 20. How do you guys think the people in the synagogue reacted or responded to Jesus' words here?
So it says that their eyes were fixed on him.
Definitely, yeah. Fixated, yeah.
The carpenter's son?
Yeah, that happens a little later. Is it this Joseph's son? Let's bring it to us and here today really quickly and relate it to his kingdom. He's speaking here about fulfillment from an Isaiah scroll, right? But here and now, how do you experience the good news of the kingdom of God?
That's cool. I didn't know that.
I like thinking of examples like that. Yeah, hospitals, nonprofits, the Red Cross, the 911 system, even Guinness beer came out of kingdom work. Some of these things that maybe no longer are as related to the kingdom, but came out of that heart of the dignity for humanity, right?
Yes.
Taking care of others. Well said. Society. Yeah. Yeah, because then one idea, the kingdom of God, if it looks like we were originally meant to be in the Garden of Eden, then gospel is meant to restore us to be fully human, the way we were originally designed to be fully human. Sometimes that's the way I tell people about the gospel. It's helping us to expand our view on it, right? To where it goes into more areas of our life where we don't ever want the gospel to be minimized or compartmentalized to church on Sunday morning or a quiet time. And we don't want it to be truncated to just a set of our doctrinal beliefs. And we don't want our good news sharing to be truncated to just, well, I cold contact shared with somebody the other day.
Sure.
But we want to be touching on some of these things. All right. I had to look ahead for my next question, actually. Here's a challenging one, then. If we think of what areas of our life are touched by the gospel, do you think there's any area of your life that is lacking the gospel? Good example. Yeah, parts of our life lacking the gospel, and lacking isn't a bad word. It's just perhaps areas in our life where the gospel could grow and take greater seed, right? As we plant those seeds of the gospel. I work for this, volunteer for this Connect Central Oregon nonprofit, but sometimes that's more deed rather than word, and that's okay for now. Collecting food from the neighbors for the food bank, and eventually, though, I want to get to sharing more gospel seeds there. And hey, this is why I do what I do, and actually, you're donating food. That's very Christ-like of you. In fact, here's another question. Where do you see gospel work here in the Bend community? Jesse gave the 911 example. That's almost a national or global thing, that system. But right here in the community, there's some good work being done, right?
Yeah.
That's an opportunity for us to intersect and maybe join in that work, speak to the gospel. So for me, that is partially the neighbors. They donate to the food bank, and I just help facilitate that a little bit as one example. Yeah, anything else come to mind? Just right here in the Bend community, where do you see some kingdom work being done as we see it done in Luke chapter 4, right? People being healed, people gaining sight, people finding freedom. All right, let me shift back to Luke 4 rather than the Bend community. But I will say this. Look for the gospel in unexpected places, because there are opportunities everywhere to identify where this city is being redeemed a little bit And perhaps it's not in the name of Jesus Christ, but it could be, and it could be transformed in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be a part of that redemption. We want to join in that work so that people can see the gospel, be changed by it, be impacted by it before they even hear the details of it. But back in Luke 4, what kind of people does Jesus say this gospel or kingdom work is being done among? Like, what's the who of this chapter that he's talking about?
He talks about, like, the blind.
Yeah, yeah.
I have my Bible, but, like, the blind and the oppressed and the poor.
We can think of some who in this. Yes to everyone, but at the same time, Madison mentioned the oppressed, perhaps those who are, the Bible talks about those who are contrite, right, and sincere of heart, and perhaps these people are brokenhearted in some ways. My buddy Mark, he's mentoring guys coming out of the prison system. He says, yeah, all of them are just coming alive for Jesus because they typically read about Jesus in prison and then they want to live for him coming out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
Something that happens in one of these perhaps marginalized pockets. The poor, the brokenhearted, those in captivity, the prisoner, those who are in mourning, going through grief, those who are in despair. Perhaps that's where a lot of gospel work can be done. Perhaps those are people who are looking for good news. And when we talk about what areas of our life might lack the gospel, just to imagine the gospel taking every area of life, the A to Z of life. So, hey, does the gospel have my time management, my priorities? Is the gospel in my relationships? Is the gospel in my sexuality? If not, what would that look like? Is the gospel in my money and how I steward my money? There's a lot of places where we can be looking for the gospel. So I think I have one or two more questions here. Before just asking who has some good news to share, I want to ask if there's where in your life do you perhaps interact with the people of Luke chapter 4? The brokenhearted, the grieving, the mourning. Where would your life intersect with some of those people? Because I think they're in all of our lives. I love family. I need to grow a lot in family. Because there's brokenness in my family, there's addiction in my family, divorce in my family, there's drinking around the holidays in my family. This is Thanksgiving week. Maybe we'll have some opportunities. There is some of Madison's extended family and friends. We're going to a memorial service this week, and they're coming into town, and yeah, we're celebrating, but we're also grieving and having this memorial. So I want to be thinking beforehand, how can I have gospel intentionality with family and around that memorial especially? I'm going to totally open it up. You can share about Luke 4 if you have some concluding thoughts. Or I'll just ask, who has some good news sharing this morning in light of the discussion we just had? And I'll share... To go first, sometimes we don't celebrate failure enough and growing enough. And if we're going to grow in gospel competency, if something is worth doing, it's worth doing badly at first. And it is going to be done badly at first. I could probably think of a lot of fumbles. This last week I went to campus and I meant to share my faith more and I prayer walked around on campus. The buddy I was going to meet with didn't show. Ended up talking to Miriam, and that was great. But I, like Janet was mentioning, lacked the boldness. I didn't approach a lot of guys sitting at tables who were alone. There's a lot of people who eat alone in the campus cafeteria. And sometimes I do, but often I can chicken out of those situations to strike up conversation. So I struggled to bring the gospel into that space this week, to share one example. Well, I'm going to shift there, but encourage, we want to have more good news sharing like this in order to increase that growth environment, becoming more like Christ. So quickly, I'll explain that graphic I sent out on gospel competency. And you'll notice it's a wheel that keeps going back around. So if you start with what we talked about last Sunday of the Luke 2 teachability posture of Jesus, that's the idea of listening to hear. Listening to Holy Spirit to understand where the gospel could come into different sections of our life. But quickly, I'll explain the entire idea of competency. It's moving from unconscious incompetence, you guys may have heard of this before, to unconscious competence. Or it's going from a place of ignorance to then awareness, then to application and trying it, and then to integration, where you don't even need to think about it and you're doing it all the time. You don't even need to be intentional about sharing the gospel. You are just dripping God and connecting word and deed and having this Shema lifestyle. And then just when you think you've arrived, perhaps you have some more listening to do in other areas of your life and you can go back around. So I'd love any feedback on this idea, but I do just want to share the idea of Colossians 3:16 for gospel fluency. And I think that's where a lot of us are at and getting better at our fluency in the gospel when we talk about sharing good news. And for everyone who just shared about where we see the gospel in the Bend community or who we see in our life that match the type of people in Luke chapter 4, or perhaps it's with the holidays coming up this week, I challenge you to think about those people in your neighborhood, in your family, in your job, in your school, where your life interacts with God's activity in their lives. And be the good news to them in the next few days. And bless them in the next few days. Ouch. So Colossians 3:16, let's turn there to reflect on the Father for communion. This is a parallel to a verse we all know well from Ephesians chapter 5, I believe, verse 21, of be full of the Holy Spirit and submit to one another and sing to each other in psalms and spiritual songs. And essentially, the being full of the Spirit is a parallel to letting the Word of God dwell in you richly. So when the gospel is dwelling in us richly, this is the overflow. And it's going to come out in our prayers, like Madison had mentioned. And it's going to come out in the Bible talks, like Nadia had mentioned. And it's going to come out in our worship. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. There's that thankfulness that Janet had mentioned. I mean, this is a dripping the gospel, competent lifestyle where it's just on the tip of our tongue all the time. Because we're encouraged by the Spirit, because we have the gospel richly overflowing from our hearts. And so I just want to pray to the Father now as we take communion that we can remember him and he can dwell in us richly so that we can be good news to people this week. Thank you, guys.